I've got with me Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, the new owners of Wrexham AFC.
What was the connection between you and Wrexham Football Club?
We had no direct connection. It was just a feeling.
What me and my dad thought was, because Wrexham's red, Deadpool's red.
That's the real reason, sorry.
I think the biggest challenge is a community looking around going, what are these two guys doing here?
Welcome to Wrexham.
Is that the gym?
It will be the gym.
Wow.
Yes, these will work.
They were the voices of Hollywood stars Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney speaking about their decision to buy the English National League's Wrexham AFC, which is, no offence intended, a small football team in Wales. And the whole story is now the focus of a new documentary which is available on Disney Plus from today. Welcome to Wrexham charts the journey of the takeover by the actors since 2021. So what is going on? Well, I'm joined on the line by Mark Griffiths, who's a lifelong Wrexham supporter and commentator, and I'm also joined by sports reporter and sports marketing consultant Oisin Langan. Good morning to you both. Thank you for being with us. Mark, I want to start with you because what's it like having your football team bought by these Hollywood actors?
Absolutely unbelievable. You know, I mean, they keep in the documentary they talked about it as if it's a fairy tale. 100% that's what it is. I mean, we've been struggling for so long. We've had terrible problems with ownership, with people who have, you know, taken the club very close to extinction twice in the last 15 years, and now all of a sudden, yeah, the fairy tale has happened. It's astonishing.
But did you question it? Did you wonder whether they were serious? Because they're comedy actors. I mean, was there ever a worry in the back of your mind that it all might be just a bit too mad?
Yes, but in a way, that was also our guarantee. You know, these guys are such public figures that it would do them damage to do us wrong, if you see what I mean. I've always been, well, because we've had such bad experiences of private ownership, when the fans took over, even though maybe we underperformed, to be honest, I was happy with that in that I knew there'd be a club there for my son to follow in the future. And I didn't like the idea of private ownership, but this is genuinely unique. I mean, this is remarkable, and their passion. I mean, I've got to be honest. From the very, very start, their passion has come through, their enthusiasm. I'll be interested to hear what Oisin's got to say about marketing, because it seems, you know, their celebrity is the currency, and the way they come across, the way that they use their profile to benefit the club is fantastic and fascinating.
How much do they know about football? Like, do they know the rules when they bought the club?
Well, that's part of the beauty of it. They've been very honest in saying, not really.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I'm afraid, you know what the British are like. You know, we've got a snooty attitude. And, you know, American football owners will be mocked just because they're American.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Now, and so they were sensible enough to realise they were walking into that environment. So they were very quick to say, we know it's football, not soccer.
Mm-hmm.
We are not coming here to impose our ideas. We come here to learn. They very quickly, as the documentary shows, put highly qualified people into the football positions and said, we're not influencing the football decisions. We're trusting the people we put in.
Okay, fair and enough. Yeah. So they handed over responsibility for the business end of
the
football.
Yeah, they were very humble. Yeah.
Oisin, I know you've watched a couple of episodes of the documentary. What's your sense of it or your feeling about it?
Well, I'm glad for Mark that they are taking it very seriously, and they have appointed very good and smart people to run the club. They've admitted themselves they don't know football. In fact, there's some very funny footage of the two of them celebrating a goal. They don't realise it's offside, and not only do they not realise it's offside, they actually don't know what offside is. But Ryan Reynolds got David Beckham.
Now we can forgive them that, you know.
yeah. Absolutely, you can. And look, the thing is as well, it kind of doesn't matter what their background is. Ultimately, the fans of Wrexham want this club run properly, and that appears to be what they're doing. And as Rob McElhenney said in one of the episodes, I don't have movie money, I've got TV money, so I needed someone to come along with me. And he's got Ryan Reynolds, who's a massive movie star, but what he also is a bit of a marketing genius. I mean, this is a guy who is involved in a lot of business ventures and ideas, and he knows how to sell brands, including his own. Like Ryan Reynolds, when you see him on TV and see him in interviews and see him on movies, there's obviously a front. Okay, that's obvious. He's an actor, but he gets his own persona. So he knows how to sell things. He knows how to push things. And what they have done is they've put in a relatively small investment considering the resources that they have. But they also know that they can only take it so far. Now, I don't think Wrexham fans mind that if they got to the championship, we'll say, they would have to sell it on, they would have to move it on if they were to take the next step. But they seem to be running it sensibly. And while they're making a documentary and they're having a bit of fun, they actually are running the football club properly. And their celebrity status was only going to take them so far. Mm-hmm. But, and I think Mark sounds confident, and I think he's right to be confident, judging from what I've seen, that they are actually making the right decisions.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit, Mark, about where the football club has been. I mean, some listeners might remember the glory years of the 1970s, a long time ago now. Take us through where Wrexham was when these two guys walked in the door.
Well, I mean, basically, we were run by the fans. And that had the advantage of security, but the disadvantage, obviously, we couldn't bring in a big investment from anywhere. The level we're at now, the fifth level, which is explained really clearly on the show, is the lowest level we've ever been at. And we've been there, well, this is our 15th season at that level. And we just stagnated there. The support's still been brilliant, but there's not been the money to really boost things. So, yeah, it's been incredibly frustrating to be stuck down there when, like you said, in the 70s, we were playing Arsenal and Liverpool in the last eight of the cup competitions. We got up to the second level in English football. The problems, of course, as well, just, you know, infrastructure problems. We've got the oldest international stadium in the world, a glorious stadium, the Racecourse, but it's old and it has such an emotional attachment for the fans because one of our previous owners wanted to knock it down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I took part in the overnight candlelit vigil at the grounds to protest it. But because we have that link with the grounds, we can't move to some beautiful new facility. We don't want to, but, you know, so the issues like that, they've made terrific moves. Like one of the sides is derelict, but now they've got permission to build a new stand there. And it's like they're ticking off things off the wish list.
Yes, and it's hopeful to be a supporter now. But you've been through years where there must have been no hope. And it's not easy to be a fan in those years, is it?
Oh, gosh, tell me about it. I mean, when I was a kid, all through the 80s, our 10 lowest ever average attendances were through the 80s to be dropped down the divisions. And that was grim. We nearly went out of business then. But the more recent ones, well, I mean, we have been at the point where, well, we would have been kicked out of the league because the owners were told to pay a bond to guarantee the club could see through the season and refused to do so. And the fans raised £200,000 overnight, which was astonishing.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you were in the position when these two actors came along for them to take over from the fans. Oisin, having watched the episodes of the documentary that you have and followed the story, I mean, do you think that Reynolds and McElhenney, that they're in it for the long haul, or are they there just to make this documentary series?
No, I think they genuinely are in it for the long haul. Mm-hmm. Now, the long haul, I guess Wrexham fans are hoping is getting back up the divisions and getting back up to a level whereby someone bigger probably wants to invest in the club because, and they admit this themselves, individuals can't really finance a Premier League club. But I think they genuinely do love it. And Rob McElhenney actually speaks in the documentary, which is really good, by the way, Claire, I'd highly recommend it, about how he grew up in Philadelphia. He was a working class kid and he gets how sport is important to communities because he's a big Eagles fan and he says that the Eagles winning the Super Bowl was one of the top 5 days of his life and it wasn't just the fact that they won it, it was what it meant to the community and he said that he sees a lot of similarities between the people in Philadelphia and the people in Wrexham and when he says that, you as a sports fan think to yourself, well, I see similarities everywhere around the place and like you get the joy and you get the pain. I'm a Cork City fan. And we literally did go out of business and the fans actually brought it back to life and had to bring it back to the first division. So I know that pain myself. I think every sports fan does. But I genuinely think they actually do have a grow for it. They do have a love for it. And I'll go back to it. They are actors, so they can fake those emotions. But the sense I get is sincerity.
You know, there's so much pressure and there's so much focus on ownership. And think of the Glazers and what's been happening with that situation and the protests and so on. I mean, what happens if it all goes wrong? You know, can you see Rob and Ryan facing a hostile press conference down the line, defending their team if they lose, if they have a series of losses?
See, here's the thing. There's no expectation. And what they actually have to put in to succeed isn't a whole pile. So I can't see them like, and Mark probably is far more qualified to talk about this than I am, but it going wrong is the club going to the brink of bankruptcy again. And I just can't see that happening. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't get them back up, they had like, it's chump change to them to keep the club going, to keep it running on a day-to-day basis.
Mark, you come in on that one for us then. I mean, is there an expectation there now?
Oh, there's a massive expectation. I mean, we were so close to going up last season, and because of restrictions on our transfers, we were stuck with the transfer windows and the other teams in our league weren't. And we didn't really get our team together until January, and then we were the best team in the division. So everyone's confident, we brought in more good players in the summer, that we should go up this year. Having said that, you know, you say about fronting up if it goes wrong. To be honest, they don't strike me as people who wouldn't. I think they would be very happy to front up. As Oisin said, I mean, financial problems would be the disaster. I can't see that happening. And in terms of results, well, last week we had a bit of a shocking defeat. And after that, last Saturday, the crowd still sold out the stadium, still were massively supportive. You know, I think it's going to take quite a bit to shake the faith. And even then, I think it would be more on a level of maybe aiming it at players and managers. I think everyone sees the owners as knights in shining armour, to be honest. It'll take a heck of a lot to damage their reputation in the town, to be honest.
You made the big announcement, didn't you, of the takeover?
Simultaneously. I wasn't the big announcer, if you will, but I was actually commentating on a game. And the idea was that the announcement would be made after the game. But leaks were coming out and it was decided to bring it forwards to during the match. And it was felt I wasn't making that announcement, but I couldn't really commentate while I'm not mentioning it. Mm-hmm. The trouble is I only knew that Ryan Reynolds was involved. I didn't know about Rob. So I was handed a piece of paper by our media manager with Rob's name on it. And ironically, this is where I'm the inverse of most people, I'd never seen a Ryan Reynolds film at that point, but I'm a huge fan of Always Sunny. So when I saw Rob's name, I really thought it was a joke because the media manager was a big fan of Always Sunny as well. I thought he was winding me up.
And what has happened since then to the club? You mentioned, you know, the crowds filling out the stadium. Is that all new, you know, that you'd have every seat filled?
Oh, yes. To give you a statistical example, our last 8 games have all been sellouts. So they're all nearly 10,000. The last time we had 8 consecutive crowds above 9,000 was in 1979 when we were in the second, what's now the championship, the second tier. So, yeah, I mean, the crowds are remarkable. Incredibly, we've actually had trouble with ticket touts last season. I mean, that's absurd.
That's a good complaint, isn't it?
It's quite something, isn't it? That? Yeah, absolutely.
And you're in the documentary, is that right, Mark?
Yes, although I haven't made an appearance yet. my commentary is being used in the documentary. We have one remarkable 6-5 win. And my commentary actually went viral of the winning goal anyway, so that's definitely in there. Me just losing my head completely.
Ah, great! It just sounds like such fun, and it's so exciting. But Oisin, there's a new genre of behind the scenes football documentaries around, isn't there? We have Arsenal, Tottenham, now Wrexham. Do you like them? Are you a fan of them?
I am, but you have to keep in mind that they don't have editorial independence, and you have to accept that you're getting to see a side of things that the club are happy with you seeing with. Now, with Sunderland Till I Die, and apparently there are people involved in this Wrexham documentary that were involved in that, it wasn't all positive on the club. But of course, how could it be when they were in such a state? And they're interesting. You get a little bit of insight. Some of it is a bit David Brench. Well, like, I mean, the Arsenal one recently, where they got the photographer to do the speech, was a little bit David Brench, The Office, cringeworthy. But like, they're good fun. But like, they are TV shows. They're not documentaries in a sense, if that makes sense.
Pinch of salt. But look, we'll enjoy Welcome to Wrexham because it's just such a great story. And you can hear from Mark's account of it there what joy it has brought to the club and to the supporters. Oisin and Mark, thank you both. And Welcome to Wrexham is available to stream on Disney Plus from today.
Today with Claiborne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.